Congressman, how are you?
I'm great, Tony. How are you?
I'm doing very well. Where in the world are you this morning?
I'm on my way to Lansing. Actually, I'm going to be with Sandy Levin, congressman from the Oakland County area. He's the chairman of the House Ways and Means Committee and a leader on trade issues, and we're holding a forum at Lansing Community College's West Campus this morning at 10 o'clock to talk about fair trade and talk about fighting for our manufacturing jobs in Michigan.
And what can we expect to hear and see at that event today?
Well, one of the things I want to do is talk about the proposed South Korea quote-unquote free trade agreement. This was negotiated by George W. Bush when he was president, and the Congress has never approved it, fortunately. But South Korea's ambassador was in Lansing last week pushing that trade agreement. And, you know, what I want to talk about and have Sandy Levin talk about, who, by the way, is just a an expert on trade, is what the implications would be for manufacturing here. And, you know, South Korea has locked in so many barriers to U.S. automotive exports. You know, the last thing we need to do is lock in South Korea's advantages that just, you know, has, you know, basically the imbalance is for about every 100 cars that South Korea sends to us here, we can export about one car there. It's awful, and we should not be a party to an agreement like that.
Congressman, in your estimation, who's responsible for all these horrible trade deals that we have? And you could look at what we have with Japan, with China, with the Koreas, as you mentioned.
Right.
How did that happen?
Well, you know, presidents have negotiated these, and Bill Clinton deserves his share of the blame. But it's Congresses then that have gone ahead and approved them. And I think, you know, as I talk to my colleagues, Democrats and Republicans, there is a bipartisan fair trade working group that people are waking up, you know, waking up to the fact, you know, idiotic policies, for example, that allow our tax dollars to create jobs in China rather than here, and unfair trade agreements like NAFTA and CAFTA and so forth have put our jobs, have sent our jobs overseas. And, you know, in a recession that is just really hard to dig out of, I see people wanting to fight for our jobs here. That's what I'm doing. You know, that's, you know, my fight right now. You know, I was at a manufacturer in Litchfield in my district yesterday. They have 64 employees, and they are, you know, they are making things. They are manufacturing things. And, you know, there are small shops like that all over the state. There are, you know, big manufacturers like General Motors and the Lansing Delta Township Assembly Plant. You know, we've got the best workers in the world. We cannot be a party to these kind of things.
Congressman, can we really do anything about the trade agreement with China when we owe them trillions and trillions of dollars?
Yeah, of course we can. Thanks for your patience.
Don't worry about it. We were talking about China. We owe them trillions of dollars.
Right.
The trade
right.
agreement is a tip way to their side. How do we have any leverage to change that?
Well, I was starting to say that the House is going to vote on a couple of bills in September, one of which is my bill. China never signed something called the Government Procurement Agreement when they joined the World Trade Organization 9 years ago. They knew exactly what they were doing. What that allows them to do is block our companies from doing business with their government, while our federal government is allowing Chinese companies to do business with our government on our taxpayers' dime. As I talk to you, I was just reading the Battle Creek Inquirer, and someone wrote in, one of my constituents, a World War II veteran, about the Department of Veterans Affairs buying goods made in China. I mean, this is wrong. My bill will stop that from happening, and so that's one common sense thing that we can do. Another one is to put pressure on the Obama administration to get tough on China over currency manipulation. You know, when China knows exactly what they're doing, by manipulating their currency, they lower the cost of their goods, raise the cost of our goods, and China also subsidizes their companies in a number of ways. So we know what they're doing. In fact, I testified before Congressman Levin's committee on trade with China. So there is no reason that we shouldn't be tough with China. They've been eating our lunches, and we're letting them do it. And I'm not going to be a party to that.
Tell us what's the latest with Enbridge, the oil company that's responsible for dumping more than 1 million gallons of crude oil into the Kalamazoo River. Efforts go on to clean up that mess. It has been contained. What is the latest from your end?
Well, I think it's charitable to say it's contained in the sense that it's limited as far as how far it's made its way up the Kalamazoo River, but the cleanup is going to take a long, long time and cost tens of millions of dollars, which, by the way, Enbridge Energy Company is going to pay for. So I had a public meeting last night in Marshall, and a couple of hundred people came. They had their chance to ask questions and speak out. We heard from the National Transportation Safety Board. They're the CSI unit that inspects the crime scene and finds out what caused this accident. And their preliminary findings are that there were defects on the coating on the pipeline, and then there was corrosion in that pipeline. So what that reinforces to me is that this company should be required to fix all defects along the pipeline, and there are over 200 of them that have been identified that they haven't fixed to date. So the deputy secretary of the Department of Transportation was there as well, and he's under pressure to make sure that they don't allow this company to restart the pipeline until all of these defects are addressed. And I think they heard loud and clear from the public that that's what they want to happen.
I know you have been calling for a congressional hearing. Where are we with that?
The hearing will happen September 15th, and my subcommittee has already begun an investigation. In fact, that began within days of the spill occurring, and the September 15th hearing will bring Enbridge Energy Company in front of the subcommittee. It will bring U.S. Department of Transportation's Pipelines and Hazardous Material Safety Administration before the subcommittee. It will invite community residents to be there to talk about community impact. The EPA will be a part of that, the National Transportation Safety Board. It will put all of these witnesses on record so that the subcommittee can look at the law and see where it needs to be changed. And I think there will be significant changes to the pipeline safety law.
When we talk about your campaign to get reelected, it looks like the campaign is getting kind of nasty, as there's a lot of negative information coming out from Tim Walberg, the former congressman, and I want you to comment on that.
Well, the day after the primary, one of his front groups, Americans for Prosperity, that won awards for, or its founder won awards for excellence in outsourcing in China and India, came to his defense, actually began attacking me. Tim Walberg has got a lot of problems. He just said when the Republican minority leader, John Boehner, came to Jackson on his behalf. Tim Walberg said, what we need to do is return to George W. Bush's economic policies. You know, I can't think of anything that would be worse for this country. You know, that's the those policy caused this recession we're digging out of. It cost us 8 million jobs and, you know, $17 trillion in lost wealth in this country. So, you know, Tim Walberg also came clean to one of these right-wing groups that he wants to privatize Social Security and risk people's savings on Wall Street. So he's got a lot of problems. And, you know, coming back to the trade issue, you know, he supports these trade agreements that have cost Michigan hundreds of thousands of manufacturing jobs. So he's got a lot of explaining to do.
And some email that I received yesterday, and we all know that polls are just a sampling, and we don't talk about polls a lot here on the program because they really don't give a clear picture of what's going on. But there was a poll sent out, and the poll says that you are trailing Tim Walberg by 10%. And then the email goes on to say that Mark Schar votes for trillions of dollars in deficits in Obamacare, cap and trade energy taxes, and $862 billion stimulus plan. It goes on and on and on, even to say that you're grandstanding with the Enbridge oil and with this trade presentation that you're making today. Boy, that's a lot of shots there.
Yeah, well, that's what Tim Walberg does. I mean, he is the most negative campaigner I've ever seen in my life. And if he thinks I'm being too tough on Enbridge Energy Company, well, you know, he sounds like you know, Joe Barton in Washington, who apologized to BP. You know, these are the people that fund his campaign. It's big oil. It's Wall Street. The health insurance industry, that's who he's working
for.
Well,
Congressman, I got one more quick question. I want to ask you about the economy. I've only got about 45 seconds. It looks like the economy is really slowing. We still are having an issue with jobs. What can Congress do in the short term to correct that?
Well, I think the biggest thing that has to happen is that the Senate needs to pass a bill that the House passed to get credit flowing to small businesses and manufacturers. You know, actually, Sandy Levin wrote a bill that that I co-sponsored that passed that would put money into community banks. It's paid for. That would directly go to companies that are trying to create jobs. You know, I'm working with businesses in my district every day that are trying to add jobs. They can't get loans from these banks that were bailed out by the taxpayers.
All right, Congressman, I got to run. We got to hit break. Thank you so much.
All right.